What does a neuropsychologist who specializes in ADHD do when her own son is diagnosed with ADHD and she has to live all the advice she's been giving? Well, of course, she writes a book. You're listening to Frau Amy's World, episode number 4. This podcast presents conversations with and for real-life creatives on how we find and keep walking our unique paths. I'm your host, Amy Hallberg. Today I'm talking with my good friend and writing partner, Catherine Cui, who is in the final stages of revising her memoir, Raising Will, Surviving ADHD's Brilliance and Blues.
Yes, that's a mouthful, Amy. That's a lot that you had to say. Thank you for the introduction.
Well, it's worth the time to introduce you. You're definitely part of my world.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about why today is a landmark day for you?
Sure. So this morning I met an editor at a coffee shop in Minneapolis to talk about her edits of my book.
And so you were nervous, and you told me that she said you have written a book.
Yeah, she did. She, you know, like any meeting, any good editor is going to start out the meeting giving positive feedback. And so I just was so happy, though, to hear that she felt like it was a worthwhile book, that she felt like it was really getting, she felt it was close to being done. And
yeah.
You never know, as a first-time writer, in my situation myself, you hope for that, but you don't know.
Well, and so to just kind of dive into that background, so you are a clinical neuropsychologist. You work with children and their families to help them navigate ADHD.
Yes, I do. I've been doing that, for about 15 years now. And so, yep, I got my PhD in clinical psychology, and then I specialized in that area in neuropsych. So ADHD has been in my life a lot.
And yet.
Yeah.
How long ago was it that your own son was diagnosed with ADHD?
He was 6, and he's now about to go to college. He's 18. So 12 years ago, he got diagnosed at Children's Hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you're an expert. So how does that feel? You're an expert in ADHD, and you receive a diagnosis like that for your son. You should have a leg up, right?
Right. I know. And I feel like one of the things is, even hearing you say that, I think that societally there's this view that, oh, well, it's ADHD. It's a he's a hyper kid and he maybe struggles to focus, but it's just way more than that. Mm-hmm. ADHD affects the family and your child and all kinds of things. And so, to answer your question, though, I thought I should have a major leg up. And I did in some ways. I knew a lot about it from an intellectual place, but it still really kicked my butt. You know this, Amy, from my writing sessions.
Oh my gosh.
Not to be negative, it's because I don't mean to be negative, but I mean that it's been quite a process and we've all learned a ton. And even with all my knowledge, it was very tricky for me to navigate.
So talk about that. I mean, obviously you had access to resources. You knew what resources existed on a theoretical level. But what do you want readers to know about your journey with ADHD?
Oh, well, it's so hard to say in a succinct way. I guess like one example would be in graduate school, you learn that there's learning disabilities are often associated with ADHD. Maybe 70% or so of kids with ADHD have learning differences, and you breeze over tutoring methodologies to help with reading and writing, and you go, oh, okay, Orton Gillingham, you spend maybe 20 minutes on it. And then you refer people to Orton Gillingham of Minnesota in your practice, but when you are in the kitchen with your child trying to teach them to stop reversing B's and D's, and they continue to do it,
Yeah.
It is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Well, and you're laughing at yourself now, but it wasn't always a laughing matter. I mean, like,
No, it wasn't. Thank goodness he had a tutor, because I was way too mean. It's true. She's the one that knew all kinds of techniques, but I am laughing now, but in my book, you see the process of me learning to let go more.
Well, and it was a loss. It is a loss for your family and for you personally when your child has an ADHD diagnosis.
I think that is a big theme in my book, the loss of normalcy when your child has any diagnosis, meaning they have any symptom that's interfering significantly with functioning at school or at home. So I forget your question. I got off track, Amy.
Well,
you asked me, how does that loss of normalcy, how does it affect our family?
Well, yeah, I mean, you tell some great stories about how you are trying to make your son do these things like every other kid should do it. And like, I'm thinking of, you know, he must write the thank you notes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, some of that is being raised in the South. But yeah, I mean, what I've learned about ADHD is you can't muscle it. And so much of my life, I have been, like, my dad used to call me, like, or actually, my husband still calls me a little pit bull. He does. And my dad used to call me Cruella, because I was always, like, at the beginning of hiking paths, just trudging along. And this is not something you can muscle. You have to be more patient and accept a lot of stuff that you don't want to accept. You have to accept that your child can't do some of the things that other kids can. And in our competitive world with parenting, and I think in any parenting world, it's just hard. Especially these days, it's a little, I feel like things have gotten even more parent stressed.
Yeah, well, and I think that those of us who came of age in the late 80s, early 90s, we want these things for our kids that we wanted to have, and they have their own lives. And you've talked about how there's a lot of loneliness when you realize your kid's not going to be that kid, whatever it is, right?
It's true. I was asked by the editor today about, you know, identifying more clearly a few themes in my book. You know, because we're trying to figure out what to keep and what parts are overwritten and that I can get rid of certain scenes. And I think that sense of loss is a big theme in the book about the grieving part about what you don't have and about the fact that, yeah, your child probably isn't going to do some of the things that require, you know, executive functioning at a high, high level. It doesn't mean that they can't learn to do those things over time, but certain big science fair projects and things like that, that they're not interested in, I could say, just do it to myself. I use that Nike phrase all the time, just do it. But that internal self-talk is almost absent in many kids with ADHD, the just do it part.
Right.
And yeah, that's, you know, I'm not going to do the science fair thing for them.
Right. You've also talked about, though, I mean, so you and I both know there is an incredible gift that has come with Will's ADHD. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, that's part of the title of the book, The Blues. He got interested in blues guitar when he was 9. And he started playing in the blues bars. I think he was around 11. Famous Dave's and Walensky's and places like that. We were taking him, which is just strange to even say out loud. You're taking kid on school nights to bars.
Okay, yeah. And and his first big success was a big one. I mean, right? He's standing on, what was it, the main stage?
The grandstand, yeah.
At the Minnesota State Fair.
Yes. there were like 12,000 to 15,000 people watching him. He played gosh, I don't know why I'm blanking.
Do you know what? Do you have
Leonard Skinnerd? He played Simple Man. Leonard Skinnerd.
Do you have a link to? I would love to put a link to his performance.
We need to do that.
We're gonna okay. We're gonna put a link. So if you're listening to this, we're gonna get a link to see this because you need to see this kid. He is a gifted performer. He's got music scholarships.
He does.
Yes.
He does. Well, we talked about that today with the editor, too. I talked about that with her, and I asked her about what she thought. She thought I should have that link for the performance and some of the other blues performances he's done. Just little snippets to get a sense of him. But, yes, the music is a thread in the book, and it has been a real positive for him. Yeah.
But, like, just to make the point really clear, this kid takes music out of the environment and just sort of channels. I mean, like this music, this pure improv, it's technically brilliant, and it's beautiful and it's free. And he has this gift that probably is part of the ADHD.
I think it is. His brain works really, really quickly at times. I watch him scroll up and down on the computer and it drives me nuts. Like, really, really quickly, especially when unmedicated.
Right.
And so, yes, there is stuff that goes on, and listening to music is a very natural piece. Having to learn to read notes was harder. So, yeah, you're right. That's a bit, and I'm excited about having that thread in the book because it is something that it's a fun side of things. I don't want to just talk about the hard parts.
Right. And one of the other things that I think is interesting, so you talk about your family, so there's you and there's your son, of course, but you're married to Bill, right?
To Bill.
And so, you know, Bill's part of this whole ADHD but also writing journey, and you've also got a daughter, Emma.
Yes, Emma is 15, and she is, you hear parents say this all the time, she is really, truly so different than William. First of all, she's adopted from China, and so she has dark black hair. He has blonde hair, and she is highly organized. Before a trip, she will even like her grandparents to look at her suitcase because she wants to show them where everything is in her suitcase.
Can she come over to my house?
Yes, yes. She wants to go over checklists multiple times, and we tell her, no, thank you. That's obsessive. Like, so they're just very, very different, and she's been a big help to Will. Even before she was talking, like, she would find his shoes when we were yelling, where are your shoes? She would go and find them.
Right. But so that's been part of your journey, too, is how do you also meet her needs? Mm-hmm. Because she has her own needs, and then Will has his needs, and so that's been a lot for you.
Yeah, it has. You find that you do overbook the child that doesn't have ADHD because they can do those tasks that are the multiple step tasks. And she's always cued into me, so she can be so much of a taskmaster that she, it's just not quite fair. It's not quite fair at times, so we have to work on that too.
Oh, yeah. And of course now, so you're writing a book about yourself. What's that journey been like?
In the memoir, you mean?
Yeah, you're writing all this. So you're living this experience and you're going through this.
Yeah.
But you're also writing a book that you're going to put out there about your family. And people are going to read this. And I think your point is to help other people navigate, as you know, you've had to learn to do for yourself, right?
Yeah.
But this is your life. So say a little bit about that, what it has been like to become a memoirist. Because you weren't a memoirist.
When
we met, you weren't talking about writing memoir as anything more than this is a story I need to tell.
Yeah, right. You and I met in the loft. I mean, at the loft in the Forward program. So, you know, I started writing this because I needed to vent. Mm-hmm. And I would write really early in the morning before the kids got up after we moved here. So, gosh. It's going to be weird. William has read a lot of it. He'll read the final. I want him to be comfortable with everything that goes out there. It's going to be weird. It's going to be vulnerable. It's scary. But I also feel really committed to the project. It's helped me grow a lot as a person. Writing it. You know, so I don't know, Amy. It's hard.
How do you give yourself permission to do that? Because there's a lot of people that want to write stories, and it's scary, and you have actually done it. Like, this is a real book at this point. You know, it's a real book.
That's what she said.
I know. And she also said you're a really good writer.
She did.
You think of yourself as a writer now.
I think I do, Amy.
Yeah,
We've been telling each other this for years.
No, Catherine, you are a real writer. This is KQ. I always talk about her when I, like, make little jokes about my writing partner. No, you're a writer. So,
yes. So
what's that been like for you to become a writer, to give yourself permission to be a writer?
Well, you know, you always hear about the memoirists who are self-indulgent and all of that and who are sort of... And so I hope... That will not be me. I feel, of course, you feel a little bit of that, like, but I'm excited. I've been doing neuropsych testing and therapy with kids for many years, and I'm excited to continue to do that and move into this whole other writing world. It feels freeing. Of course, I don't really know what I'm doing. I have a sense of what I'm doing, but I'm excited about it. Yeah, it's a whole other ball game.
So you've come a really long way in the past decade.
Yes, thank goodness, huh?
Mm-hmm. And you've talked about how that KQ back then was really trying to do everything just right, putting a lot of pressure on yourself to be a mom to these two different kids with very special, different, wonderful kids, but with really different needs.
Yep.
And full-time work, and you're a wife, and you have this beautiful house, and you have pets, and you're trying to keep it all together. What gives?
Yeah. Well...
And what would, maybe more specifically, what would you want to tell the KQ... back then, if you were talking to her now, what would you want her to know?
Well, another writer once read, another writer, she is a true writer who's published several books. She was helping me with my book, and she was reading the sections about all of the things I was trying to balance when I moved here. And she was like, you need to include in this book that you were basically batshit crazy with all the things that you were trying to balance. People need to know that you had some insight that, like, it's not normal to adopt a child and be working all the time and move at the same time across the country and, like, think you're going to pull it off. And so...
And this is, by the way, I'm just going to cut in here. This is why it takes so long to write a memoir, because what part of your batshit crazy actually ends up in the final book, too? Because there's right. a lot. We all have right. so much batshit crazy.
Right. So I would say, I you know, like I said about... the pressure I put on myself around breastfeeding, I don't really, that's not about this book, but gosh, you know, La Leche Foundation has a place in everyone's life, but it also doesn't.
Mm.
And it's like, it doesn't, you know, let stuff go. And I, you know, I wish that I had gotten more support early on and put less pressure on myself to know how to do everything. My son had a lot of problems eating a range of foods. We should have had, like, I worked at Fraser, for goodness sake. We should have had him get a feeding assessment. I don't know. There's blind spots, though, you know?
Yeah. And you've also talked about, and I've seen this personally, I really look up to you, and you and I hold each other accountable to taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
So you have really created... some beautiful ways of supporting yourself.
Yes.
That you didn't have for yourself back then, right?
No, I didn't. Some of it is I didn't have as many, you know, I didn't have the time. I have a little more time now that the kids are older. But, you know, I've learned, I thought yoga was literally, and it, you know, I thought it was just laying around on a mat. I'm not kidding. I thought people were just stretching. And I was was pushing myself all the time, so I'm like, I'm gonna sweat. But I realized that yoga is all about strengthening and being good to yourself and aligning your body and letting people comfort you and all of these neat things. I tried to push yoga on Will, and he hated it. And I So the pushy side of me did try to pass it on, but I, yoga has been a great thing in my life, and knitting. You know, you are a knitter too, and so we talk about that. But other things with my hands, gardening.
Yeah, that you really create that space for yourself
to
access that creative side.
Yeah.
Thanks for visiting Frau Amy's World. Today's episode featured Catherine Kui, and she and I have more to talk about, so you'll hear from her again. If you enjoyed yourself, please subscribe to this podcast below, where you can also find links, offer a comment so people can find us, and I do welcome tips. Please and thank you for your support of my work. You can learn more about me at CourageousWordsmith.com. I'm Amy Hallberg, and until we meet again, travel safely.